Have you ever asked yourself, am I a bad therapist? Well, you're in the right place. I'm Allie Joy, licensed professional counselor and board certified art therapist.
And I'm Catherine Escare, a clinical psychologist, and this is Am I a Bad Therapist?
Join us for stories from behind the closed therapy door.
You'll hear experiences that made us ask, am I a bad therapist? Including bloopers, jaw droppers, and other difficult moments that normalize the unique struggles of modern day therapists.
This is a space with no experts, no gurus, and no hierarchies, just humans sitting in similar chairs.
While we're certainly not promoting actual bad therapy,
we are here to shine a light on the messy situations that therapists face on a daily basis and to normalize that mysterious gray area of clinical practice that no one wants to talk about.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So, Catherine, I feel like sometimes we make a small switch, whether that's in our environment, our schedule, our background, and we think that someone might not notice. We might not put too much thought into it. And then sometimes, surprisingly, we are wrong in that assumption.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I have had clients and people I work with notice the smallest things that I didn't even notice. Like my bookshelf behind my head here, if you're watching on YouTube, if not, go check it out. My kids play with my little figurines, my skull, an orb, an elephant. And so they're always in different configuration. I have Yoga Joes over there. And clients always know what my kids have been up to above my shoulder. How about you, Allie?
Oh my gosh, yes. And if you're watching on YouTube, I have a very busy background because I am a maximalist. And with my bookshelf, I changed a plant that's at like the very top of my screen. I didn't think anyone would notice. It really was because I just changed my plant. And I had so many people I work with, supervisees, clients, like people notice it. And it was one of those moments where, you know, we're going to talk today with Mary Beth about how sometimes really you make something, you're like, okay, I'm just going to switch something and think that there won't be an impact. And again, like I had kind of hinted at earlier, sometimes we can be very wrong in that assumption.
Yep, a little bit bigger of an impact than just a change background for Mary Beth. So keep listening to find out how she handles it. And just a reminder that this is not a substitute for clinical consultation, ethical guidance, or therapy itself, because it's for entertainment purposes only.
All right. Well, this is episode number 97 of Am I a Bad Therapist? We're calling this one Client Swap. Let's get into it.
Hi, Mary Beth. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me today.
We're excited to talk to you more about your bad therapist moment. But before we do, can you share a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm a marriage and family therapist in the Bay Area, California. I have a private practice where I see adult individuals and couples. It was a long and winding road to get here. I count maybe three separate attempts at careers before I finally figured out what I wanted to do when I grew up. So that was about 15 years ago, and I've been practicing for about 10 years. Some of my outside the office work is volunteer work. So I have volunteered at my alma mater, my grad school alma mater. I've been a guest lecturer there. I've been a volunteer for our local crisis hotline volunteers. And occasionally I volunteer at for a service called Second Saturdays, which is for, it's a divorce workshop, basically. Oh. And there's a therapist, a finance guy, and a lawyer. So we work together to help people, you know, either go through the process or make the decision.
Wow. That's so interesting. Love hearing about what you're doing. But let's get into what is the story that you're going to share that made you question if you were a bad therapist?
Sure. So one of my internship sites was an intensive outpatient program. And there, and it's probably important to say that it was my second training site. So I was relatively new to all of this. And as the I in IOP indicates, it was pretty intense. And there was, we had time to do individual therapy, one individual therapy client in the morning. We had a 10-minute break, and then there was a 90-minute group. Then I'm trying to remember, we had a lunch break, but it wasn't very long. It was like a half an hour, 35 minutes, and then another 90-minute group. So the way the schedule ended up going in the beginning when I started was I had a Monday individual client, and I will call her, I'll call her Tisha. Names have been changed. Then I didn't have a group, right? So that first 90 minutes, I would do my notes or my treatment planning, and then lunch. And then I would have the second group that I was a co-lead on. And so Mondays were great. Mondays were kind of chill. And then Tuesday, again, this is where the I and IOP comes in. I had a client in the morning. I'll call her Missy. And then again, 10 minutes. And then I was a lead on the first group in the morning. And then I was a co-lead in the afternoon group. So Tuesdays were pretty intense. One of the reasons they were so intense, not just because it was packed, the day was packed, but I don't know how else to say this, but Tisha was an easier client than Missy. Now, I loved both of them. I loved both of them, had good rapport with both of them. But what Tisha brought in was a little less, I keep using this word, but it's true, a little less intense than what Missy brought in. Like one example is, as far as diagnoses go, Tisha had two, perhaps. Missy had like, she'd been getting diagnosed all her life. Mm-hmm. So she had maybe a half a dozen diagnoses attached to her. And again, it wasn't, I loved working with both of them, but by the end of Tuesday with Missy leading a group and then another group, I was wiped out. And I was new at this too, right? I was like, oh my God, this is a lot. So I was looking at my schedule and I was like, well, what if I just switch my individual clients? I'm like, you know, they're both there every day, all week. It's kind of the same. It's the same for them, right? So what's the big? So I spoke to both of them. I said, you know, Tisha, I'd like to move you to Tuesday, and I'm going to move Missy to Monday. And everyone's like, okay, no problem, right? I thought. So a couple days go by. I'm starting to notice that Tisha is a little more withdrawn. She's a little snappy in group. She's kind of given Missy the side eye. This is over maybe 2 weeks, right? I started noticing these things. And then I think it was like the third week after we had switched, Tisha came into individual and she said, I think I want a new therapist in the clinic. And I was like, okay.
Oh my gosh.
What went through your head? It sounds like that okay meant, ooh, I have some clarity now. But I'm still wondering, what was that clarity?
Well, I didn't have clarity immediately. I was actually a little taken aback. I mean, I sort of knew something was happening, obviously. I was knowing it's an IOP. We're with the clients all day. And so it wasn't, I guess it didn't come as a complete surprise. That did, but I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know, I didn't think it would had whatever was going on rose to the level of, I don't want you as my therapist anymore. So, you know, I went through variations of, am I a bad therapist? Right. So I started thinking, obsessing about what I had done wrong, right? That was my immediate, what had I done, right? Did I say something in group that was taken the wrong way? Tisha and I do not share a race. So I was like, did I say something racially insensitive? Did something happen? Was it not me? No, it was me. Certain it was me. So I struggled with this for a week. I didn't right away say, sure, Tisha, I'll find you a new therapist, because before this we'd had a really good rapport, and you know, she was very, again, previous to this, very open with what she was struggling with. And I thought the treatment was going really well. So don't do this at home, but I didn't talk to anybody about this. I struggled internally.
Until you came on a public podcast.
Right. I didn't tell anybody about this at the time. Yeah. But here's the thing though. I think on some level, I mean, I can put two and two together. On some level, I knew what it was. Mm-hmm. So, because of the timing, right? So I did go to Tisha at what was ostensibly going to be our final individual session. And I was just like, does this have anything to do with switching our days? You know, and thank goodness at that point, she was able to say, yeah, I think so. I think what's going on has to do with that. And so we started talking about, you know, why does she think that was the issue? You know, what happened? What was going through her mind? And it kind of turned out that it made a kind of logical sense to her, but by moving her from Monday to Tuesday, for her, it felt like she was second best, that Missy was more important to me because she came first in the week. And so I was like, okay, you know, that would never have occurred to me. It just never would have occurred to me that that's what somebody might think. But for her, you know, I understood why that made sense to her. And then came another decision. It's like, okay, now what do I do?
Right. Because you don't want to disclose the true reason, because it was the complexity of cases. You needed to manage the energy load, right, throughout your work week.
Right.
What did you do?
Well, right, exact. So this is like in the moment, what do I do? And I couldn't throw Missy on their bus. These women are together all day, and it can get very tense sometimes. So I can't, well, you know, Missy's a harder client than you are, right? Which would sound dismissive of her. And also, again, saying something about Missy that could be wildly misinterpreted. And there was also the, you know, do I switch them back question and go back to being kind of really drained on Tuesday. And I sort of danced around it a little bit. We worked through enough of Tisha's feelings to that she felt safe again, and that I heard her, and I worked with her to understand what was happening. And I apologized for making the change without really talking to her. I was like, you know, I screwed up. I really should have worked through this with you. I should have asked you what it might mean. I should have checked even like after the switch, how it felt now to be on a different day. And I said, you know, I felt like I needed, maybe I did, maybe I didn't, but in the moment I felt like I needed to give her a little explanation. So I just talked about logistics. I think I use that word a lot. You know, I made this decision because of logistics. It has nothing to do with who you are or who Missy is. And I think we ended up in a good place. She remained my client for the rest of the time I was there. And it all kind of worked out. So
I think it's so interesting because I feel like we as therapists talk about that, like, you know, really trying to move around our caseload when we need to in our schedule. Like, you know, like I do, like if I have a client who maybe I do feel a little bit more drained after, I try to intentionally maybe start with them or do it before I take a lunch. You know, like you try to be strategic. Mm-hmm. But usually for many of us, the clients don't necessarily see a back end of that, or they don't see if someone you put into that spot you changed. But in this situation, they both had a very clear, you know, they could see what was happening even like beyond your back end, like schedule changes. And I feel like that's right. Such an interesting part of this story is like mm-hmm. that they could see that someone went into the other spot and kind of felt that of like, was it an importance kind of thing? So I think that's such an interesting thing to think about, because I think I arrange my schedule, I change it, we talk about it, but seeing it from a client end who gets to see you many days during the week, how that can clearly impact it and what that can look like.
Let's pause here for a quick ad break.
Hey, Bad Therapist. Just in case you missed it from our last episode, we are moving to every other week episodes.
We just want to make sure that we are not becoming bad therapists or making bad podcasts. So we want to make sure that we are bringing you the best of the bad. And just in case you didn't catch it, that you don't think that you missed an episode, because we'll be seeing you every other week. Since you're here, we're going to assume that you already like learning from other people. And if you want to take that a little bit deeper and a little further, you should join us on the network.
The Therapist Network is actually where Allie and I met and formed this podcast, if you can believe it, several years ago. It is where we have our unfiltered, unhinged at times conversations about what being a therapist is like and the unique aspects that come up in our work.
Yes, and we value the Bad Therapist community so much. It is such an incredible part of this podcast, and it just reminds me of the invaluable community that is the Therapist Network, and it's just a gift that keeps on giving, and you really should come join us on the Therapist Network.
Thank you, Allie, for the shout out. That was a very nice endorsement. I think we can offer everyone listening a 30% off discount for your first subscription to the Therapist Network. So if you're a mental health clinician, use code BADTHERAPIST to join us at thetherapist.network, and we hope to connect with you inside. Psst. Hey, listeners, it's Catherine here. And I'm coming to you today because Allie's not the best at bragging on herself. And I want to remind you all that she has an incredible resource available for free at her website, cccs.care. Allie's Creative Intervention Library is full of easy interventions that even non-art therapist clinicians like me can use with clients of all ages. Every intervention has a list of materials, an entire process video where you watch Allie doing it, and a written description and steps so you can follow along at home. Plus, she even has a list of diagnoses that might find this creative intervention helpful. So if you want to access a totally free library of interventions for when you feel stuck with clients, check out Allie's website, cccs.care, and sign up for free today. Well, let's loop back to the show.
I know one of the questions you ask is, what did you learn from this? Well, I wish I had learned a little more because it happened again in the next training session, but it was different. I needed to have a better balance of my day because I wasn't taking lunch. So I needed to work something in, and I moved a client. I talked to her a little bit about it. So So I learned a little bit, and like two sessions later, she's like, I'm not going to come to therapy anymore. And I was like, I know why. It's because I switched you, right? And ironically, for this client, it was the same reason that I switched, because this was at a community college. And right after therapy, on the day that I switched her to, she had class. And she couldn't go from therapy right to class. It was too overwhelming. So with her, we moved the schedule around. We made it work for both of us. But the phrase I use sometimes when I guest lecture too is never underestimate the power of the frame. And, you know, we think of, if we, hopefully we think of the frame, right? And the frame is like everything that happens before and within the therapy room or computer before we even start talking, right? So you think about our fee, you think about the schedule, the day and the time, how long you see somebody, you think about the physical space, you think about your background on screen, right? All of these things, I think, provide a holding environment, right? Before we even start. And when you change something in that, it has the potential of shaking that holding environment.
Yeah. And I'm curious. I'm going to bring us back a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you had shared, this is, you were an intern when this happened, and it was your second placement. So I'm guessing this maybe was one of your first experiences with what felt like being fired by a client, which is, can be challenging. Mm-hmm. As an intern, did that come up for you? What did that feel like? Did you start to kind of, what were the questions that went through your mind? Again, I know I'm bringing us back, but it just keeps sticking in my mind that, again, as an intern, and this might have been the first time of how that was probably challenging for you.
It really hit my self-esteem. I didn't go so far as to question whether I should be doing this, but I did question my ability to think about my client more, right? And I was kind of kicking myself about that. I was like, ugh, I didn't think enough. I didn't think about her enough. I didn't think about the situation enough. I was just thinking about me, and that felt really crappy. I probably could have done it earlier, but with other clients. But it was the first time I really had to talk about the relationship, right? What was happening in the room between us. And I wasn't sure I could do it. That was the hard part for me at the time. I mean, that still can be hard, right? And so I struggled with whether I could do that, right? So before I went into that session, pretty much knowing why the reason that she wanted to switch, before I went into that, I considered, like, maybe I should just let her go to someone else, right? Because talking about this is scary, and I have to admit that I did something bad. I think that was probably the biggest struggle at the time. Do I address this, or do I not address it and just let her see another therapist?
It sounds like in the moment your gut told you, address it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
well, I think
what happened with Tisha?
Like I said, we kept the schedule, right? The way I changed it, so that I had a slightly easier day on the intense day. And We redeveloped the rapport. I needed to earn her trust back. So I worked a lot on that. I held her in mind more. You know, in retrospect, I think back to, you know, the trauma, one of the traumas that she had experienced before coming into the IOP. And it absolutely had to do with trust and not feeling safe. I mean, she had been in a physically dangerous situation, and that holding environment and the trust, my holding her and the holding environment, was really important. And I honored that, you know, I, I was as consistently available to her as I could possibly be. And I think, like I said, I think I rebuilt that trust with her.
I would say even more than the rupture, the repair feels like more of a learning opportunity in the long haul, right?
Yeah.
What did you learn from that repair process?
Own up to your mistakes. But before that, really, really embrace that we make mistakes, right? That it's okay. We're as we often say, we are human and we can't think of everything, right? Again, in a million years, it wouldn't have occurred to me that, you know, moving her from Monday to Tuesday would make her feel second best. And so we don't have to know. I don't think we have to know what a change means, but I think we have to understand that a change might have an impact.
Yeah, that reminds me of how I'm an art therapist and I share a lot about creative techniques. And I always share with any one of, you know, clinicians I'm talking to, like the importance of not assuming, right? Of like, you know, someone might create this picture that's like all these really heavy red scribbles. And my first instinct might be like, oh my God, they're so angry. But then I ask someone and they're like, oh, I'm really excited and red's my favorite color, right? And I feel like it reminds me of that, of how, you know, like you said, we can't, you know, think of everything that might happen, but we can ask and be like, what's going on? Like, or even thinking about like, how are you feeling about this? And I think that it really is like, you're highlighting it's so important to just ask those questions instead of like assuming it's this or it's that, because it can be so easy to be like, oh, I think I know what's going on. Let's just, you know, kind of go here. But really asking those questions allows for the repair. It allows for that rebuilding of trust. And, you know, like Catherine's saying, that repair sometimes can really be so, so powerful and lead us into a great place, even though it came from maybe a mistake or things like that. So that to me is just standing out of, like you're saying, it really can be, you don't have to, you know, imagine or anticipate every single thing, but we can ask questions just so that we can understand what's going on without assuming that we might know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one of the other part of this, right, which comes up a lot, I think, is balancing our needs with our clients' needs and to really give that some thought, right? Because, you know, if I just, you know, if I make random changes and I don't, because of me, right, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? There's nothing wrong with making changes. Sometimes we have to. But if I'm just like randomly making changes and I don't think about my client and how this might impact them, then I've done a disservice for both of us. And so really, I really now think when I make any changes, whether it's schedule changes or venue changes, I try to put enough thought into it to say, do I really need to make this change? Is this the change? Is this change the right thing right now? What do I imagine? Right? We can't predict everything, but how do I imagine this might impact my client? So those are, I think, just more thought around things. And like you said, talking through in as much as you can some of the changes. Like, you know, in my own therapy, I had a therapist who was a teacher. So like every semester, her schedule would change a little bit and I would occasionally have to change times and days. And that was fine with me, right? That part of the treatment didn't affect me, right? So, but clearly it affects other people. So widening your imagination, widening my experience and knowing that my experience isn't applicable to everybody else's, I think, are some of the things that I took away from this.
I think you did a phenomenal job explaining, you know, what you did, what you would do differently if you were in those shoes again. And we usually ask our guests a question of what advice would you give to someone in a similar situation, but I feel like we've covered that. I would really like to hit home one of the later topics that you brought up, and that is this balance of our needs and the needs of our clients. Could you speak a little bit about what advice or guidance you would share to a therapist who's struggling to balance the needs of themselves and their clients?
I think it's important to honor your own needs first. Because if you don't do that, you can end up in a place where you're feeling resentful or overtired and you can't be there for your client the way you want to. So, you know, the old, you know, put your mask on first before you can help anybody else. So if it's really something, if you're trying to find a balance because you're feeling burnt out or you're feeling negatively toward the work or you're feeling negatively toward the client, then I think you need to honor that and find a way to make that balance work. And I guess the truth is it might not work for the client, right? If you have to make like a schedule change and it doesn't work for the client, then do your darndest to try to make it work, but in the end it might not work. And in that case, you know, you need the empathy. You need to enforce the holding environment enough if you need to, you know, refer them out to somebody else, right? So that it doesn't feel like they're being abandoned or discarded. Mm-hmm. So if you can't make it work, sometimes you can't make it work, but try.
That's really good advice, because I find myself stuck in the try loop sometimes. And sometimes, yeah, it's greater things are found separating.
So I have one quick little story. So I'd been reading this article that said, you know, don't sit directly across from your client. Right? And I was like, okay, I'm going to move my chair over to the left, right? So I'm like face on. And I had one client come in and they were like, why did you move your chair?
Yeah.
And he was like, you're going to have to turn your neck this way. He was very concerned for me, right? And again, it was like, all right, this did not occur to me that this was happening. And lo and behold, he was right. By the end of the day, my neck hurt because I was so one, I should get a swivel chair. But two, so I moved my chair back. And the next week he came in and he was like, you moved it back because of me. And I was like, well, no. So we spent, you know, and that says a lot about him, right? But I allowed the space for us to explore what that meant, my moving the chair and then my moving it back without talking about. I was just kind of frankly goofing off and seeing what it would feel like for me to move my chair. So you know, the other advice, and this was a balance thing too, right? Because I was balancing my physical well-being against what, you know, what might feel better to my client, which is not sitting face to face with them, right? But in the end, I was like, I can't work with a sore neck. But again, it had meaning to him, and we worked through that. We worked through what all of this meant for him.
I love that. That's such it's a fun story, but also like it is such a great point. It's so powerful. I love that. Well, Mary Beth, if people want to connect with you outside of the podcast, where can they find you?
I'm a little old school, so I probably the best way where all my contact information is my website, which is mbl-therapy.com. And people can also read my articles on Medium.
Oh, awesome. We'll link those below in the show notes for anyone listening.
Well, thank you so much again for sharing this story. Like Catherine said, we'll link that in the show notes, but really thank you for sharing this story. It was so fun.
No, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It was great.
And that's it. The OG Bad Therapists, Allie and Catherine, are signing off for this week.
Make sure to subscribe and leave us a review. We love the Bad Therapist community so much and want to continue normalizing real therapist experience. You can help us by leaving a 5-star review or sharing this episode with a friend or colleague.
Are you a bad therapist and want to be on the show? Go to abadtherapist.com and tell us your story.
Our podcast is produced and edited by my amazing husband, Austin Joy. He also created the music for our intro and outro.
You can find this song, along with many others, on any music platform under the artist Air for Effect. And if you're a bad therapist starting your own podcast, contact Austin for his full suite of podcast and sound production services. You can find him on Instagram at Air for Effect.
And if you've experienced an actual bad therapist, contact your state health department or head over to stopbadtherapy.com for more information.
And if you've liked this episode, we've got plenty more.
Yeah, over 50 therapist stories ready for you to binge if you can't wait for our newest episode next Monday.